Hello, everyone, and welcome to another night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations, as always. So, same show as last week. We got the 100, and we've got Snowpiercer. And maybe we'll ramble about a couple other things, who knows. So, the lady should be here any second. And then we shall get rocking and rolling. Speaking of co-hosts, here's one now.
Hello.
Good evening. Hello.
Good evening. Oh, I know Karen's like, I'm thinking I'm tired too. I want to go to bed too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's the weather.
Funny.
It's a lazy day.
I should have known something was up when I haven't heard from her all day. Usually she, you know, at some point during the day, commenting on tonight's show, and it didn't even dawn on me that she hadn't contacted us.
Yeah, because that's what I was kind of thinking. I was thinking, it is Tuesday, right? Nobody said anything, so, yeah. But anyway, so she'll be here in a minute. Trying to think, I don't think there's anything else I can even think of to talk about before we start that was on. Didn't know. But Snowpiercer was good, I think.
Oh, there she is.
Hi, guys. Happy Tuesday.
Hello. Happy Tuesday.
You sure it's Tuesday?
Yes.
I know. I know. I almost forgot. I almost forgot Fandom Access today.
Yep. We noticed. And, you know, I don't know why you made me remember it, but something you said did. I just wanted to mention this before I forget, is that obviously I can't talk today, that obviously Comic-Con is coming up. They're still doing it virtual. And there's going to be something like 350 panels, I think. So everybody should make sure that you know, kind of keep track of that and what's coming, because I know I'll definitely be going. And also, I'm only telling you this because I just saw this now in my email. I don't know if you guys even care, but the in one of the long lists of conventions that have been lately, there's one for the 100 on Friday, July
17th. Oh, yeah?
Yep, there's a bunch of stuff. That's for Galaxy Quest. That's the one we just did the Doctor Who one for. But there's actually a good variety.
It's the last season of the 100, so they must be pushing it.
Probably. Well, there's a good variety. Tim Curry's doing one. There's a separate one for Rocky Horror Picture Show, I guess. There's a lot of ones. Star Wars is on Saturday, July 11th. I don't know. There's a lot of different ones, but that's under Galaxy Con. Obviously, there's also, you know, Wizard World and all those. But yeah, Galaxy was the one that we did that we listened to the Women of Doctor Who on not that long ago. So anyway, people can check those out. But I digress.
Cool.
We'll go back to Snowpiercer. I just wanted to mention that because I thought about it. All right, well, oh, and also one other thing I should tell you. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but you guys will probably want to read it. So actually, I will tell this. On Collider, Christina done an interview with Josh Holloway, and I haven't read it yet, but apparently he talked about what Colony would have been at the end. So if anybody wants to check that out, I want to read it when I get a chance.
He joined Yellowstone this season, so...
Yeah.
I guess that's why he's doing interviews.
All right. Well, who
stuff coming up.
Which one? Yeah. But now we want to talk about Snowpiercer. I was going to say, which one of you want to start? I can't talk, apparently.
Whoever wants to start. This was a weird episode.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a good episode.
It has moments. It has moments. Why don't you go, AJ? You never go first.
Okay, I will. First and foremost, this episode felt very much like the bulk of the movie for me, which I kind of like. I like the fast pace. I like that there wasn't a lot of screwing around in this episode. It was all very go, 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 go. Which really appreciated. I think somebody should tell Till that the honeymoon is over. I like the one. You know, it was funny. They're like when Leighton was giving the speech, and he's like, and when he says one train, right before he did, I was like, it's one train.
One train.
And
yeah,
one I train. And I was like, hey, we have a team going. We got one train. We got one crew. We're good to go.
Yeah.
I kind of figured that was what he was going to say.
I feel like, you know, because of the whole twist with Mary, back in episode 2, when we find out that she's on the train, I feel like that story that she told Ruth is bullshit. I don't think she left Wilford at the station to die.
I kind of feel like that was a lie, too.
Yeah, I think Wilford's in a drawer. I believe that her reason behind it is true, but I feel like he's in a drawer. And it's, you know, it's funny. I mean, I get that everybody's pissed off and upset. But one thing with it, love Melanie, hate Melanie, she's kept that train running while keeping this secret for 7 years. That's got to count for something. You know, cause what are they
I know. I kind of want to say, like, you know that you should be mad at her, but at the same time, she's kept everybody alive for 7 years. You shouldn't be that mad.
Exactly. You take her out of the equation completely, and what's going to happen?
Who's going to run the train?
You know, I mean,
like, I was like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Ruth is like, oh, Melanie, tomorrow you die for betraying the train. And I'm like, well, are you going to run the train, Ruth? Like, who's going to run the train without Melanie, right? There's two yahoos up front.
Yeah.
I'm not going to kill her because she's the biggest star of the show and probably, I mean, we're probably going to see her and Leighton acting together for some reason. You know, something's going to happen that she and Leighton are going to team up, I think. But yeah, I'm thinking, Ruth, who's gonna run your train for you? Because like only 2 weeks ago, we saw that Melanie was like the only person who could crawl into the train and fix the hydraulic line, which at the time I commented was kind of dumb. Right. But
yeah,
like, yeah,
but of course she is, right? They need her and she needs to prove she's needed. I don't know. Sorry. Go ahead. I'll tell what I want when you guys.
No, go ahead. AJ, are you still speaking, AJ?
No, it's good. You guys can go ahead. I'll say most of what I want.
Sorry, I was just going to say that I'm like glad a lot of stuff finally happened and it finally went down. You knew there was going to be a lot of deaths. I kind of feel bad for Melanie. I mean, I know some of it maybe she deserves, but like I said, I think that she sorry, somebody started talking. I think that they need to know that she's the only one that can do it and that they're going to be shit out of water if they, you know, try to get rid of her. But, you know, hopefully, I feel like maybe, what's her name, Ruth, that maybe she'll realize, you know, she didn't want to hurt them, but I don't know. Because Ruth still seems to be, like, a good, decent person, you know. Not that, and, you know, the thing is, it's hard to say how you feel about Melanie. Like, part of me is like, is she a good guy? Is she a bad guy? I mean, she's a good guy because she's tried to save the human race, but she's done very questionable things anyway. But it was definitely good to finally see it all go down, and I liked how kind of, you know, they showed all the other groups joining in. And now poor, I know I'm going to lose his name, the kid. Poor kid stuck
Miles.
In, well, not stuck in the middle, but stuck in the
Miles.
Front of what's going on. He has no clue, and, oh, crap, I just knocked my table over, so almost, sorry, I'm talking. What else am I going to say? That guy is going to get a lot of them killed if they keep listening to him, that military guy. I was also, I don't know his name, sorry, the one who's I think
yeah,
like
I forgot his name too. His name almost hit my tongue, and now it flew away from me.
The captain, yeah.
Yeah. I was glad that, the other thing I was going to say is I was glad that, oh God, I don't know why I'm so bad at remembering names. The other brakeman, not Osweiler, he ran away.
Roach.
I'm glad that he decided to be on their side. You kind of saw it coming, but it was good to see because he's obviously a good guy too.
Kyle Roche, you said. I thought you were talking about the coward.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor Roche. Poor Roche.
Yeah, now the fact. Yeah, yeah. The fact that Pike, the guy from Walking Dead, that he's giving them what they want. I'm not sure how to feel about that. I mean, part of me isn't surprised because he's in first class. What do you mean? Is that what you said? Where is he?
No, who is he?
Oh, he's one of the ones that they put in the drawer that had to give himself up when they were killing
He's been in the drawer since, like, episode two.
Yeah, he was in the drawer.
In the drawer for a long time.
Okay. And Leighton said, I'll come back and get you and everything, and he's being an idiot, and, yeah, I don't know why he did that. But, I mean, I get why he did it for the dessert, but I'm just kind of surprised he sold him out so quick. Part of me's surprised, part of me's not. But I just kind of like where it's really going with them all, you know, against each other. I liked how they had the... I don't know what you want to call it, but the big machine that they stuck the spikes in, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
This episode definitely was more violent.
You know what I
thought? I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool.
The spike machine, I kept saying to Artie, I'm like, that's cool and all, but why don't they weld it to the other metal so they can't get through when they run out?
That is a good point. That is definitely a good point. But anyway, all in all, I thought it was pretty good. I liked the preview of what's to come. I don't know if you guys saw the preview. We don't want to talk about that yet, but why I'm like, I want to watch the end of it. I've been waiting to see the end of it. I've been good and not watched the screeners, and I'm like, I want to see the end. What the heck? I keep hitting my table. But anyway, so what about you, Karen?
So wait, like the rest of us. So I am... So I have to agree with AJ, like, you know, it very much approximated the movie. And during parts of this episode, I thought to myself, wow, this is really bloody for 9 p.m. regular cable and also, like, highly stylized. And then I thought, oh, yeah, well, it's, you know, it's the movie. It's based on this movie that, you know, it's going to be like this.
Not a comic. Graphic novel. I couldn't think of the word.
Well... No, it's based on the movie.
Right, but the movie was based on the graphic novel.
Oh, it was based on the graphic novel, yeah.
Got
okay.
That backwards.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I just meant because
so,
why I said that.
Yeah. So I mean it was very, you know, incredibly bloody to the point like people are walking around and there's just like blood all over their face. Like, you know how in movies and TV people are covered in blood and they don't, like, even wipe it out of their eyes? And I was like, really? You wouldn't, like, wipe your... You wouldn't, like, wipe it... But, you know, people
we
walking
around... We always say that on Walking
blood.
Dead.
Yeah, it was a very...
they
you know,
really
but it was,
time. I mean, they were all fighting, but...
It was really, like, movie-ish.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, I was a little... I know they had been preparing in the tale... for a long time to go into battle, but it interested me that they have been able to make so many weapons and not just this machine that I'm sure it has a name, but I'm not really sure what it was, this like spear throwing machine. I'm like, God, they've been busy back in the tail, like making, making things that like, I don't know. It surprised me because I'd be surprised they're allowed to have tools back there, and the kind of things that
they knew what they had. They had the back there. I think they just kind of like left them alone.
Well, they only have what they're given by the front of the train, unless there just happened to be a bunch of farming equipment in the back of the boxcar they jumped into. But,
well, right.
Anyway,
I know whatever they brought with them. Some of them might have brought some weapons. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I mean, they have,
no,
like, pitchforks and spears and pole axes and, like, all these weapons that, I mean, I guess in 7 years, I don't know. It was a little, but I guess they, you know, they are mostly homemade. That was all pretty good. And, you know, it was nice. So it seems to have maybe not really be over. Like, it happened pretty quickly. And now we're at a point where they're sort of recovering and getting ready to move on or whatever. I really like the way, like, Leighton's plan has played out because, like, at the end of last week, he tells LJ the information. And, like, we know that it's part of his plan that, like, that Leighton knows LJ is going to tell everyone. But we didn't really know what the plan was. And so, you know, it was interesting to see how it played as a diversion. By LJ telling everyone, it created this big diversion in the front of the train where they're trying to overthrow Melanie and not even at all thinking about what's happening in the back of the train. It's the perfect timing for the for the insurrection. So I thought it
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out great. I'm interested also with Pike appearing to betray Layton. So he hasn't been seen since so early in the season that it's, I do remember that he and Layton had differing opinions. And as I recall, Pike was really anxious to attack, and Layton was like, no, we got to wait.
And then
So I wonder, like, it's a pri-. I mean, on the one hand, yes, they want to get their people out of the drawers. On the other hand, like, if Pike's your enemy and there's any chance he'll betray you, why would you let him out of the drawers?
The first classers did, remember? Because when the doctor went to get him, he was already first classers. That's not a word. The ones in first class.
But only. But they.
He was already
but
gone.
No, but they did go for him, Jamie. The back of the train.
No,
the tailies have gone to get him out. And why would you get him out if you thought he was going to betray you? And first only went to get him as a way to. I think so. While it appears that what he said appears to be true about Layton, like he's a good cop, he doesn't have the stomach to do what he's got to do. But that's not really true. Like, I think
maybe
it's a setup.
Right?
I think Pike is actually on Layton's side and is maybe telling the front what they want to hear, because you can say that Layton's a good cop, Layton doesn't have the stomach for bad stuff. Somebody chopped a man's head off and put it in a box, right? Like, they chopped that guy's head off and put it in a box. So Layton has the stomach. I mean, I don't know if Layton personally severed the head, but Layton was part of the operation where they put the box there to, like, you know, draw attention or whatever. So I wonder if that is a red herring and that Pike is not really betraying Layton, or if it's maybe part of the plan to point first class in the wrong direction. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. It's just what I thought, because I thought, you know, it seems true about Layton on the surface that he might be a guy who would not be able to do bad things. But on the other hand, it reminded me, what show was it on the 100 this week, AJ, where someone says, oh, it is Nikki on the 100 said, there are no good guys left at the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, everybody's done and it's a theme on so many shows we watch, that, like, you don't live this long without being a person that's willing to do, you know, questionable things, like chopping the guy's head off. Anyway, I just thought maybe it's not all it appears to be with Pike. And I also don't know, while Pike might not like Layton, would Pike really betray the entire tale just because he's mad at Layton for opposing him? Right? Like, that's huge
to betray
the entire tale. Yeah, but it might not be, right? He's reprehensible.
Yeah.
Depends how selfish
he is. I hope you're right, but it just doesn't seem, unfortunately.
Yeah. I would still think, though, you asked, like, why would they get him out? I would think, though, they would still get him out, because whether he agreed with them or not, it's kind of like what you said. Like, if it's between the tail section and the rich people, I would think that he would join that side no matter what. Although whether or not him being bribed with things is enough to change that, I don't know. He always plays bad guys. It's hard to tell.
I mean, there's a far more interesting thing going on
but
in those tours where the other character woke up speaking fluent Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah, that was my question I was going to ask you guys. I wrote that down in my notes. What was that about? I mean, the guy said he never talked at all, but maybe it was just because nobody understood him because he spoke Mandarin. But
he never spoke in the first... In the first episodes he was in, he never spoke. He was like a mute guy. I think they're doing some sort of mind things where they let, you know how, like, in the Matrix, like, Neo can get everything uploaded to his brain? Yeah. No, I think maybe they, like, are doing some kind of, I mean, we have thought already they're doing some kind of experimentation in the drawers. And does that mean, like, trying to, like, could they be, I don't know, switching memories or switching brains or yes, uploading skills into your brain. I don't know. But she
said that if everybody died, that they'd be like the last people to survive or something. Maybe she knew that if that happened, they needed to be able to know what to do. So maybe it was like really her backup plan, you know?
Yeah. I don't know why you need to be able to speak Chinese, because every single person on the train speaks English. Apparently only English speakers are going to live at the end of the world.
Whether it's one of the most spoken languages or not, you're right.
Well, he's not, and he doesn't look Chinese.
Although,
it doesn't mean that
you know
people
what,
have
though?
To look Chinese to speak Chinese, but.
Yeah, but the other thing is that if it is one of the most spoken languages, right, the only thing I'm questioning is that the people on the train are all American and if that actually makes sense. Like, it's possible there are people, because there's supposed to be, like, 1,001 cars. It's possible there are people that speak other languages that we don't know about. They just haven't shown us. And maybe it's, like, so he can communicate with everybody. I mean, that's kind of a stretch, but I don't know.
Hundreds and hundreds of cars are dedicated to livestock and plants and other kinds of things. They're not all populated by people, all those cars, right?
That's true.
I mean, because it's TV, like, all, like, Americans and Brits have survived. But I don't really know why they'd be introducing Chinese language into his brain unless there were, like, other skills or needs or personalities that went along with that. Like, that, to me, was, like, the hugest reveal of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
That he wakes up speaking Chinese, and he didn't. Now, he didn't speak at all. Now, could he actually just have been a Chinese speaker when he got on the they'd never heard him speak in 7 years, right? So, maybe
he spoke
Chinese, and they just didn't know it, because he's never talked.
Right, that was my other thought, but it does seem like there's more to it.
Well, you'd think if they wanted to have a character who'd never spoken, and then suddenly spoke, they might have a Chinese-looking person. You know, I don't know. Anyway, that was kind of huge. I mean, that and, like, you know, LJ continues to be allowed to just walk all around the train. It still amazes me that she's convicted of this murder, committed a sentence, but she's still allowed to walk around wherever she wants on the train with, like, total impunity, and nobody, like, does anything about it or cares. To me, is a big flaw in the show. Yeah. And so, Melanie, I'm with you. I think both of you guys have agreed that what's his name is in the drawers. Wilfred's in the drawers. He supposedly was never on the train, that Melanie somehow threw him off the train or denied him boarding on the train and, like,
but
took off without him and left him at the station.
When they said they all met him at the beginning, they said not since they boarded. I guess that still makes sense, but I kind of assumed somebody saw him at some point after that, but maybe not.
No one has seen him since. No one is able to say they've seen him since they boarded, including, like, his most devoted follower, Ruth, and all the first-class people. No one's ever seen him since they boarded the train, because he's supposedly sitting in the engine all day, every day for 7 years. He's driving the train.
So he may have just been the figurehead. We'd kind of mentioned that before. Like,
I totally believe Melanie's whole story that he's just a rich jerk who wanted to get richer and, like, sold and was, like, basically the salesman and had no intention, like, had no clue how to save the world, just
and didn't care,
you know, and that he was inept and they would have been dead. I believe a lot of that. I don't know if I believe he was inept. I mean, in the movie, he's not inept. Right? In the movie, he's not, like, without any wherewithal to have come up with this train. I don't know. But I think there's more to it. Melanie's never said a true statement maybe since she's been on the show, right? Like, Melanie, and it was so interesting, like, I kind of liked, it was a little bit overdone, and yet I kind of liked the way they, as that scene where Melanie's, like, being accused by the first class passengers, the way they filmed it and slowed it down, so, and shot right at Melanie's face, so you could see, like, almost the wheels in her brain turning with every statement, it's all slowed down, and you can see, like, Melanie, like, thinking and planning for what she's going to say next. Was a great scene.
Let me ask guys this question. I agree, but the whole thing with the drawers and all that, is that part of the movie or was that something that was added to the series?
Are the drawers in the movie?
AJ kind of went silent.
Yes. The drawers are in the movie. But the movie is like And they're the same thing. So they're in the movie, and they're also like a prison that they sentence you to. But the drawers are not, the drawers are like not so big a mystery because the movie's only 2 hours and focuses like almost entirely on fighting their way from the tail to the engine. There's a much bigger focus on the fight.
I guess my question is, without giving anything away, if you do know it, but just if you know it, my question was, like, the fact that the guy spoke Mandarin and all that and that there's something weird going on, is that, like, a part of it? Like, do you guys have an idea what's going on,
oh,
I guess is what I was saying, or that's something that's completely added? Okay, it was something.
No. As I recall, in the movie, the drawers are pretty much just like prison.
Okay, so there's no – I see what you mean. Okay.
Unless I'm recalling it wrong. I haven't seen it in a while. But as I recall from the movie, they like have like the same purpose that they put you in the drawers, but nobody wakes up speaking any other languages. I don't know why I said Spanish when the guy was totally speaking Chinese, but they're not as big a thing.
All right. I was just curious about that. Well, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Did you guys see the preview? Do you want to talk about the promo? If you saw it?
I don't care. I didn't see it, but whatever. We can talk about it.
The promo is that next week is a 2-hour season finale. And, I saw the promo. And I don't remember all of it, but I remember it looks like, so they show Melanie saying, I can give you the train. And it's not clear, you don't see who Melanie's talking to, whether she's, like, Melanie's cutting a deal, but you don't know is it with Leighton or is it with First Class. You don't really know. But they appear to be separating some cars from the train in the promo.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting to. I assumed she was talking to Leighton, but I might have just assumed that. But, yeah, that was kind of what I was saying. She's like, we'll get rid of First Class or whatever. And I was kind of like, that. I don't know, them separating the train is a big thing. Unless there's some odd thing we don't know about that we're going to survive.
How can you get rid of First Class when it's attached to the engine? Like, you need
I know,
to
that
be attached
the
to the
one
engine.
Thing I thought was strange. Unless maybe they got all their people up in the front of the train now. I wondered the same thing. And why is she tied up with people, too, was my other question. Because this was I think that was actually at the end of the episode. Melanie was in with a group of people tied up, and I kind of was confused why they took her out of the interrogation room to put her in with everybody else. I
don't know.
Something. Or unless that was the preview, but I thought it was.
I don't know. Last we saw her, she was just sitting in that little hospitality office.
Okay, yeah, then maybe it was the preview. I remember her being on the ground with people.
I mean, now you can't separate the train. Whoever separated from the engine dies, right? And they look to be at a junction. Here's the other thing. I'm wondering why this train, like, basically they go in a gigantic circle around and around the world. You know, it takes them, like, however long to go across all, like, 6 continents or whatever, or how many continents they go on, and they just go around a loop on this train. So if it was a loop, you would eventually come around and crash into the train that you left on the tracks. But
That's
it appears that they're at a split in the track, right? And they're shunting those cars. It looks like maybe there's a split and they're going to send them onto a side track, which, why does that exist?
It's like probably 10 seconds. So I don't know.
Maybe for that purpose. But it does look like there's a split and they're going to send some off. You know, unless it's like Amtrak. Like, you guys ever look at an Amtrak train that has an engine on both ends? So, like, it pulls into the station, and then when it backs up, the engine on the other side pulls it, right? So,
yeah, but I think if that was the case, we would have known that it was at the tail section, too. Like,
but we don't have, maybe nobody knows, because who can go back there and check, right? It's not like you're like, oh, by the way,
have looked?
How would they know? They live in, like, in a dark shithole. Like, how would they know there's an unused engine being trailed behind them? I mean, I guess Jamie.
Maybe. Yeah,
I guess. Because they never go backwards.
Would have to go through, but you're right. If they never used it, maybe.
And I guess, Jamie, you have a good point. That just made me think maybe they would have seen it when they got on the train.
there's that
section,
too.
Right? But
yeah.
I don't know.
But there could be some kind of fail-safe or something that they could use it for that we don't know about. It's in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, hard to say because we know we can't trust marketing departments, and what they put on the promo is often designed to throw us off the trail. Or it spoils the whole thing because it was a poorly chosen clip. Yes, or the track.
That was a bad joke.
Or the track.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, if I had to guess, I don't think that would actually happen because so much of this show is the class war, not war, it's a war now, but the class deviation and the unfairness of this train, and should they, like, I'd be surprised if they would abandon that at the end of season one, because it's, like, the theme of the whole thing, right? So, anyway. Anything else happened this week? Any other theories? I mean, we didn't. We saw Zara for 1 second. We saw, like, I mean,
now,
they just said
Till
should admit.
Why did they keep showing her, like, peeking? What was up with that?
I don't know. I don't
know.
She's
a scaredy cat.
I hate her. Yeah, I mean, she didn't fight. She didn't pick a side. I mean, she's pregnant, I guess, and doesn't want to get hurt, but she didn't, you know, take a stand. Well, I mean, she did last week. She took a stand when she turned in Josie. And now Josie's dead. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. I'm curious. I can't talk. Where it's going. But
where it's going,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know what's going to happen. But I've kind of been up and down with this show because I said before, I like this show, but it's like once I start watching it, I want to see more. But then the next week, I'm like, I don't know if I feel like watching it. But then I always am like, I want to see more. So I guess a good show. It's just like I said, for me, I didn't love the tone of it the whole season. Like it was a little dark and depressing for me. But other than that, I think it's a good show, and it's a really well produced show, you know.
It's pretty depressing, but, you know, I mean, maybe we should stop maybe watching shows about the end of the world if we don't want to be depressed.
That's true, too. If it wasn't during everything that's going on, maybe it wouldn't be depressing.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, all right, well, we'll have a good long discussion next week, huh?
Yeah, we'll definitely, after they air the finale. And like you said, it's actually two episodes because it's listed on the screen as two episodes, but it's a two-hour finale, so they will be airing them both.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else?
All right.
I can think of anything
no,
else.
I guess that's it.
I guess that's it.
Yep. Okay. Well, then.
All right.
I might as well go because you guys have 100 to talk about.
We have 100 to talk about. We have 100 to complain about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
night, Jamie. Have a good week.
Sure. Thanks,
night, Jamie.
You too. Bye-bye.
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 Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, AJ, I got to talk first.
Go for it.
I texted you this week, and I said, how come every show I watch has a character that just keeps talking until I want to punch him in the face. And I feel like every show decided to write a Negan. And we have one on the show, and his name is Shane Hayda. And I just want him to shut up and stop talking. I really did not enjoy the majority of the episode that was him playing chess with Murphy. First of all, I feel like adversarial characters playing chess has been done to death. And can never be done, you know, like ever since the Seventh Seal, people have been like doing the scene and it wasn't good. And I didn't really, I guess we're supposed to think that he's got Murphy where he wants him because Murphy wants this information to save people, but I didn't buy any of it. I think, you know, is there a degree to which Murphy's playing Shane Hayda because Murphy doesn't want to be like, Murphy doesn't want to be a hero. I mean, Murphy has sometimes stepped up and been the hero to help his friends, but I don't really, I think Shane Hayda misunderstands John. I was like, just shut up and move along with the story. I really, really, I guess there are people who enjoyed that. Maybe if they enjoy the Russell Shane Hayda character more, I don't know. What did you think of all of that?
You know, I love Murphy.
Yes.
And it was almost like they didn't know what to do with him this week, so they did this whole Shane Hayda thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was a part, you know, it was, the way it was played by Murphy was pretty smart, you know? I thought Talbot, I mean, they were playing each other. I mean, Shane Hayda's holding on the cards, and, you know, it's hard for Murphy in a situation like this because here's this madman saying, I'm going to kill a bunch of people, and I'll tell you if it can be, you know, so it's like, Murphy's kind of caught in a catch-22, because it's not like Murphy to give a shit, but at the same time, like, you know, not going to just have people die.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely doesn't care if people die who he thinks deserve it. But, like, he didn't want all those little kids to die. He doesn't want Maury to die. Although, Maury's another thing we're going to talk about. But, yeah, I just thought the whole thing was kind of a bore. And there are many more things I'd like to see John doing than, you know. I suspect John might be a way better chess player than Chiheda lets on, knows. Because, like... What did they do on the Ark for 6 years? I bet they played a shitload of chess up there.
And not only that, but when John didn't seem to care that he was going to lose. He was like, what are you doing? He's like, that's the winning move. Why are you? And then he's like, oh, you're trying to keep me here.
Yeah.
So it was clearly... I don't know, it was alright at first, and then it just got kind of dumb.
Yeah.
It went on too long. Like, it took too long to get to the point. And once we did get to the point, I didn't even care. I was pissed off more than anything, not because of what happened, not because Amari can't catch a break, but because Nelson is so stupid.
Oh my God, Nelson is so stupid.
You know, the fact creator of the Sons of Gabriel, you know that John and Amari are not prongs. You know who they really are. You understand what everybody's trying to do. You now know that Russell is not Russell, that Shane Hayda. You don't know who he is, but you know he ain't fucking Russell.
Yeah.
You still decide to join the psychotic criminals, and I get him murdering his father. I get that. I can see genuine love and kind of closure hugging his mother, and then for his father to immediately just be like, oh, if whatever John's fake name is, oh, if he was here, I'd be more inclined to this. And he's like, no, screw all this. He's like, you're all abominations, you know?
Yeah.
So I get.
I get it, but it kind of seems like the mother should have like been aware of that and been like, oh, by the way, Maury, like my husband's not down with it. Don't invite him. Or like really? So like this is a surprise to even the mother. And yeah, I feel bad. Like I think part of Nelson like never intended to like make up with his parents and like always like, but. I don't know that he intended to kill. He killed his father in self-defense. The father was trying to strangle him, but he did bring a knife to meet his father also, right? And he's a much bigger and stronger person. Like, could he have gotten away from his father without stabbing him?
And I get it. He might be a grown man, but he's clearly carrying a lot of baggage about it. I mean, he was tossed out as a child, you know?
Yeah.
I get that part of it. And it's not like we live in very, it's not like the people in the 100 have a judicial system. You know, people are killing each other all the time. So I get that part. But then he holds the gun to Amari's head and he calls her whatever her prime name is. And I'm just like,
Kaylee.
Idiot.
Yeah.
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 And I'm just like, what? I'm like, this is so stupid. He's like, oh, I'm with you and my people are with you. And I'm like, no, you're not. Like, it doesn't make any sense. They wanted Russell dead. Russell is fucking dead. Not the way you wanted him dead, but he's dead. You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You got what you wanted. There's nothing to stop you from
there are no more prime.
Life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think my major objection, and I think, sorry, that's my Velcro on my broken ankle. I think I think your problem, I suspect your problem is the same as mine. I really object to the introduction of all these new and stupid characters in the last, like, it's the last season. Like, I don't really care about any of these people and their problems and their factions, and I really don't care when it all goes down without any leadership. So, like, John and Amori are trying to deal with it, right? But in the absence of Clark or Bellamy or Adina Porter,
Indra.
I forget her name. Indra. Like, I don't really care about these little factions of people, like, what it means. Like, I've lost all... I don't even remember why they have to keep Russell alive anymore. Like, I don't even get it. Like these annoying people will set themselves on fire if they think Russell's dead. And, right? Like, is that the problem? Like, I can't even remember why we care. And then we're afraid that Wong Crew would follow Shaheda, who is known to be, like, the most evil commander. Like the idea that Wong Crew is so... They're such a bunch of stupid, mindless sheep that they'll just follow anyone who declares himself the commander kind of really bothers me also, because they've been through so many different, like, leaders and commanders and types of leadership and all this, that they would just be like, oh, there's a commander. Even though it's not real Shaheda, because it's rough, whatever, the flame's not real anymore. Like, I just think it really undersells, like, the development of this entire civilization over the last 6 years, that they would just be like, oh, Shaheda, yes, yes, we're stupid sheep. And Indra seems to have taken control of them, so just fucking kill him. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that word on the podcast. Yeah. I apologize to anyone that's listening. But it's making me crazy that, like, I don't understand. I've lost... This storyline doesn't even make sense to me anymore. I'm not sure that it ever did.
I feel it's a storyline for the sake of having a storyline.
Yeah. And then there's a whole bunch of other storylines that... So we see, like, 1 second of Clark this week, right? But we have all this, like... So now Jackson is a child psychologist, and he's counseling...
Yeah.
Maddie has PTSD from being the commander. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think she had worse PTSD over Clark being gone and the world blowing up. But she's got all this PTSD over being the commander, and he's a psychiatrist now, and he's counseling her to be a normal kid. And this also bothers me, because since when is there a concept of being a normal kid ever? On Earth, kids either fought in the conclave to be the commander or fought for their crew or whatever. Like, this was a society. Like, she, you know, only when she met, the world blew up, only after Prime Fire and she met Clark did she, I don't know. It, like, all of that is, I'm really, Maddie's not very interesting to me outside of her relationship with Clark, because they've never given her any reason to exist outside. She was introduced as Clark's child. And she's only really, I mean, she had sort of run storyline as the commander, but it was always like Clark didn't want to be the commander, right? She has no, and now suddenly I'm supposed to care about her outside of Clark. I just can't, I mean, am I just a jerk, or do you think other viewers have that problem also?
I completely agree with you. There's no story for Maddie without her being the commander. They have not done anything with her. You know, outside of being a commander, you know, she's a prop for Clark. That's what she boils down to. She's a prop for Clark. It's not about her. It's about Clark.
Now, quite frankly, Hope got way more of a storyline in two episodes. Clark became a way more developed. I mean, Hope became a way more developed daughter in two episodes than Maddie did in, like, three seasons.
Yeah. I agree.
So I kind of resented this. Not resented, but I was very bored with this Jackson counseling Maddie business. And that I have to watch that and I don't get to see Clark or Bellamy or Indra or anyone else that I want to see, right? So that was, so all that, like, everything happening on Earth is kind of annoying. And while I do, I enjoy Murphy, who, by the way, they're showing Murphy shirtless an awful lot this season, aren't they?
Honestly, I haven't noticed.
Oh, my God. We saw shirtless Murphy again this week. We're seeing quite a lot of it as we see him wake up in bed with Amori on the regular now. I mean, I like that. Amori, you know, I'm not totally down with Amori's character development either. All of a sudden, she's got this, like, you know, I mean, she and Murphy, I mean, she's always been a little bit softer than Murphy, but they're sort of two peas in a pod and two survivors. And for her to become this giving person that wants to heal everyone and herself. And by the way, I'd forgotten that she has a hand that is, I forget what they call them, freak eyes or something, but I forgot that she had this like condition in her hand, this like, I don't know what to call it. I don't want to call it a birth. I don't know how to, is it a birth defect? Is it a congenital, whatever it is with her hand, right? Her hand is not formed like a normal human hand. And basically we haven't seen her hand for like four seasons, I guess, because like the prosthetic is a pain, right? I had totally forgotten about that. But twice this week we heard characters say, oh, Amori really likes living in the castle. Amori really likes being worshipped. And I worry that they're going to start driving a wedge between her and Murphy on that. Like, when one character said it, okay. But when two characters say it, or three characters say it, like, are the writers pointing it out to us on purpose? And what's
really
wrong with that?
I really hope that's not where they're going, because there's nobody, right now, there's nobody stronger together than Murphy and Amori. So I don't see why they would do something stupid. Oh, wait, they do stupid stuff all the time. Yeah, I really hope that's not their plan. That's just dumber than dumb.
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So everything else. Oh, and then you know we have this business with Nikki with baby Dioza, who bursts in with the guns at the end. So.
By the way, I love that you call her baby Dioza.
She is, isn't she? I'm so annoyed that they had a Dioza, they made her turn nice, and so now they need a new baby Dioza to take over being, like, an annoying, horrible person. She's just the worst. And I hated what happened with her busting in with the guns and whatever, and then she says to Nelson, like, let's take a hostage and we'll get to the good part of killing people later. Like now she's also like a sociopathic sadist or whatever, which I guess, look, they were all put on that prisoner ship for a reason. But I mean, the good part will come when Indra hopefully kills her. Like, I'd like to see Indra kill her. But other than that, like, her storyline is, she's just another new character that needs to die. Like, 20 people need to get killed to get this cast down to a manageable number.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So everything else takes place on Bardo. Also a highly annoying sequence of events up there. How'd you feel about the Bardo business?
Still no Bellamy. I was really hoping after seeing him for a split minute last week that we'd actually get to see him on the regular. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. It's so bad. It really is just bad. Speaking of Murphy, no Bellamy, but don't worry, we have Shepherd Bill to fill our time, because we needed in the show, in the eighth episode or seventh episode, was a brand new character that we have, don't care about, we don't have time to care about, or even he.
Except he's not new. He's not new. You know who he is, right?
No. Who's Shepherd Bill?
Shepard Field, the guy in the coffin, did you see when the coffin opens, like vampire style, and his name is on it? It has that symbol on it that is the same symbol as the flag. He is the guy that built the bunker. Remember they saw a video of this bunker? They're called the Second Dawn.
God.
And remember the cult? Remember the cult built the bunker that he, like, tricked that all followed him and they died? And then he actually went to this other bunker that became Polis.
Right.
He's the guy who, like, built the bunker that everyone, that the ground, that, you know, that one crew eventually they go into the bunker to live.
Yeah. I'm glad you did.
Yeah. So his cult, I mean, I don't know if they basically become the grounders, right? Like his cult, like, so a bunch of those people go into the bunker and they die, and eventually Clark and Bellamy find the bunker, right? But then he and the rich people, actually this is a lot like Snowpiercer, where like all the poor people are like, whatever, you have to die, and then the rich people are like, thanks for all your money, now we'll go live in the real bunker. And he, I mean, clearly he lived, right? And then Becca comes down. Then Becca arrives, makes them Nightbloods, and they become the, you know, he kills Becca, and they become the grounders, right? Like, he knew Becca. Like, he precedes Becca. So he, like, I don't know if they've been planning this from season, like, when was that? Season 3? Season 4? I don't know. But 2? Yeah. But if they've been, like, have they been playing this since then, or were they like, what do we do now? Oh, how about that crazy guy from season 2? Let's make him be the be the shepherd, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, but there, one thing, we've already suspected, that's going to come to pass is Earth's going to play back into this, because clearly with him being there, you know, they've already established that, hey, Earth probably has a stone. Clearly, Earth has a stone. That's how he got there in the first place.
Yeah. And he's been there apparently for a long time, because he's like, if you woke me early, like he might have been sleeping in there for like, I don't know, like tens or hundreds of years, right? Yeah. Thousands of years? They say, somebody in this episode said they've been trying to decipher the stone for thousands of years.
Guess what? He's a character from a video that we saw for 5 minutes looking for a bunker. He's a new character still.
Yeah. Yes, he is. You're right. He's a new character still. Just because, like, you have to remember. Like, I remember when he was like, when you know, he was like, William Anders, call me Bill, and we saw the thing. I was like, who is that guy? Who is that guy? And it took me a minute. I was like, he's in the cult, and then I went to Google to solve some more of it, because I don't remember the mythology of the cult or whatever. I recognized him. I knew who he was. I knew he was the cult guy. I recognized him. I did recognize him as the cult guy. I knew that. I only cheated to remember, like, now what happened with the cult guy?
Yeah, I didn't recognize him at all.
And his connections to Becca and whatever was kind of, I mean, this is how they bring Becca back, and it, if you saw the promo for next week, it looks like it's major flashback to, like, pre Earth being destroyed, like how it all like it looks like it's a major flashback to explain, like, everything that sets the whole show up. I'm not sure. So, in the meantime, we have our. I mean, can Gabriel please be killed? Also, is Gabriel the worst person? Like, the worst human alive? I mean, Gabriel's the worst. Gabriel not only betrayed everyone, got them put in cells, the women get locked up, and the man is like, oh, you're a scientist. Please come help us solve the mystery of, like, whatever. Like, Gabriel used to be a man of principle who, like, was against the primes and, like, stood for something, right? And now he's like, I'm not even sure what he's trying to – is he just doing science because it's interesting to him? Like, why is he even – like, the whole thing.
Well, don't forget, he also used to be a prime.
Yes, he did. He did used to be a prime.
Yeah, this is a guy who's lived hundreds of years, and he's worried. And think about it. The reason he didn't go outside is like, I don't want to die. Dude, you can't go outside.
Yeah, and he tries to be like, oh, girls, I don't want you guys to die. But really, it's because he doesn't want to die, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and we see, you know, our women folk locked up together. That also, I don't know, how'd you feel about that bit with, you know, the women in the cells together, and how, I'm not sure who was more annoying.
Well,
I don't know. I really hated this episode, I guess. I'm complaining about every part of it.
I did think it was pretty, you know, I can't stand Dioza, but I thought it was pretty good, pretty funny when he was knocking Hope around.
It was. You know, I thought it was interesting that Hope referred to Dev as her father. And Dioza, you know, it was nice to see, like, it acknowledged that what a horrible person Dioza is and what a horrible person Hope's father was. I'm still not really down with her redemption as a character, but it was kind of like, she still got it. And Hope can't take her. That was kind of fun. Echo, however, so can we say that Echo has officially left the building? Like, has she totally gone off the edge?
Yes. Yeah, Echo has lost her shit.
Yeah. Yeah, she's totally off the deep end, and she, that bit where she, like, cut her face, because this is what her people do, was, I guess, like, kind of interesting, although it's been so long since she was a grounder, and I forget what crew she was, because she was sort of like, she was a spy for, what was it called?
Ice Nation.
She was a spy for Ice Nation. It just seems so long ago, and she went on the arc, and she doesn't really she's more Sky Crew now than she is One Crew, you know, even though Sky Crew was more One Crew, but you know what I mean. She's really become Sky Crew, and, you know, she's like, this is what we really fight. The part where she figured out that they, like, all of a sudden she's like, I figured it out. They want us to fight. That's why they're, I'm like, what? How did you figure that out? That is so, like, what? I'm sorry, did you figure that out until she told us?
No.
You know, Octavia's like, why are they keeping us together? Why are they not torturing us? Why are they not? Oh, I know, because they want us to fight. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Sure. Sure, if you say so. Yeah.
Yeah, no, not
that
something
was,
that I gathered from that.
So who do you have any? So let's start taking bets. We still have like half the season to go or more, right? Who do you think the last war is against or what it's about?
I honestly have no frigging clue. I couldn't even fathom a guess because it's stupid.
I can't. Yeah. And so I was like, you know, I'm trying to think, oh, if there's a portal on, so the stone on Earth, I mean, we had this discussion last week about how the portal isn't really about time travel, but because of the way time is different on like Skyring, and maybe on some of the other planets, could you ever potentially land on Earth before everything happened and fight like Becca from Ever, like creating Allie? I don't know. But then I think that's stupid, Karen. And I think maybe there is no last war at all. Like maybe, because of course Neil McDonough is clear. I can't remember his, Anders is his name, right? Clearly a nut job also. I think he's clearly nuts. I'm not sure because every character Neil McDonough plays is crazy. And so do I just see Neil McDonough and assume crazy villain? Right? Since they have chosen a nutjob cult leader as their shepherd, could they all be just following like a... I mean, granted, he wasn't wrong, right? He was leader of the Red Dawn, and he was crazy, but he wasn't wrong. The world did end. He was a bad leader and sent his followers into a faulty bunker, and they died, but he managed to save himself. He wasn't wrong. But could there be no final war? Like, sometimes preparing for war is the way you keep a society, like, engaged and, like, right? Like, there are plenty of leaders who, I mean, look at North Korea. Look at, you know, other countries that completely, by always being afraid of war, managed to run their country. So, I don't know. And how is Clark the key? What makes Clark the key? That's something that makes me think it's something about the past, because... Although they weren't looking, I don't think Anders was looking for, I don't think they were looking for Clark for like 100 years. They were looking for their key, and something in Octavia's memories made them think Clark is their key, right?
I'm not even sure that it's something in Octavia's memory. Like, I'm not even sure if it is Octavia's memory, is it something else? Like, I don't even know what it is. Because it's so... convoluted. Everything's so freaking convoluted that it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, something else I had a problem with, and maybe you did too, I don't know, but so Echo has left the building over Bellamy's death. Octavia's taking him in stride, and Clark went catatonic.
Wait, say that again. Bellamy took everything in stride, and Clark went catatonic.
No. Octavia took Bellamy's death in stride.
Oh, yeah.
Echo left,
yeah.
left the building, and Clark went catatonic.
Yeah.
That's Clark's reaction? I don't know.
So, but let's keep in mind that for Clark, he's only been gone for like 3 days. Right? And for Octavia, she has not spoken to him for... How many years was she on Skyring in her time, right? Which my problem with Skyring is that they all... Hope aged, but Octavia Diosa did not. But she was like 7 years on Skyring or something like that, right? 6 years? So I feel like Octavia maybe had a long time to like almost say goodbye in her mind or come to terms with whatever. And for Clark, it's been like, he's only been gone seriously for like 3 days. Right. Octavia, I don't know. Octavia did appear to take it. I don't want to say in stride. I mean, Octavia also is like a person that keeps it in. Although I wouldn't say she kept it in when Lincoln died. Right. But Octavia is like a warrior and a soldier more than, I don't know. You're right. There are these three women who, Octavia and Echo also have a lot in common. It is a little bit disappointing to see Echo be unable to function without a man, because she has, you know, this show is like about independent, strong women, like all the main characters. And Echo has been, since a child, she was sort of an outcast and has really been strong and independent. And falling in love softened her, but for her to completely lose her mind because she lost her man is a little...
Yeah.
Is that doing the character justice? I don't know. Right? I mean, she should be upset, and she should be sad, but...
None of it makes sense. They just... And it's shouldn't surprise us, because they do a terrible job of giving these characters any type of consistency.
Mhm. Yeah, it's a little. You're right. And Clark. I mean, granted, we also only saw Clark for like they also did that to Clark to make it be the final moment of the show. Like Clark finds out, and she's like, "Oh, right." And we're gonna see Clark be like completely unable to like speak or think. I, we have seen Clark. I mean, she threw her own mother out. She floated her mother. Granted, it wasn't her mother anymore, but like she has functioned through all of Abby's ups and downs. So she'll recover. But so you know, we didn't get to see when we left Clark. Wasn't Clark still trapped in the belly of the planet? Like, wasn't Clark still about to be digested last week when we saw her last? Or did they get out of that? I can't remember.
No, they got out. It ended with them.
They did?
Going through the, yeah.
Oh, they did. You're right. You're right. They ended with them going through the portal and pulling their guns. And then they got lucky that at just that moment, Bardo was trying to send a dead person through to go to the ossuary planet, where Clark just happened to be. So they happened to come through at the same moment. So I guess we're going to see Anders convince Clark to fight his war. I don't know. I Clark has been very clear that she doesn't want to fight anymore and doesn't want to kill any more people and wants to do things differently. And this guy's like, fight a war for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to expect.
Yeah. I know. I don't either. I'm really not loving it. I really don't, I'm not a huge fan of the introduction of an entire new civilization to people with completely unknown, like, at this stage of the game. I get that they needed to introduce something big to bring about, like, we can't have the last season just be everybody make friends and live on Sanctum for the rest of your lives, right? That would be kind of boring.
Sure, we could.
And, yeah, we could, but most shows want to have a big final battle or a big last thing to overcome or a big something, right? I mean, you're right. It could be a show just about, like, world building, literally, and civilization building and how they find their way. They did have a big giant battle, but like at the end of Battlestar Galactica, they just land and they're like, okay, let's pitch some tents and let's just live here. I don't know. I'd like to see, I'd like to see like 40% of the characters be wiped out. Every new character this year, I would like to see dead by the end of the season. And most of the new characters from last year. There's not one new character that I like. Is there one new character that we like? No.
I don't believe
Hope.
So.
Okay,
why
Hope
we,
is kind of new,
really,
right? Grown adult
why
Hope
do we
is
need
new.
New characters?
Hmm?
And so why do we need so many new characters in the final season?
Exactly. You should be, like, getting rid of characters. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't love this.
Me.
Yeah. So, anyway, anything else?
That's what I was just wondering.
I guess that's all we had this year.
Can't think of anything
all right,
else.
So. All right. So, all right,
until next week.
until next week. Yeah, I also didn't watch anything else this week, so I've been working. So, all right. So next week we have the end of Snowpiercer, and then hopefully something new will come on soon that we can add to our rotation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Otherwise, it's
coming.
I mean, there's some new stuff, but not shows in our regular coverage, so we'll have to see.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well.
All right.
We'll do it again next week.
Okay. Great. You have a good week. Thanks everybody for listening.
You too.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Until next time, folks.
Bye.
Good night.